All right, let's get back to class. 10:10 na. You can bring your food on your table. I don't mind. Maski nang umunguya kayo, sasalita ako. Ganyan naman kayo eh. All right. Sige, we'll try to make this faster because I think Pastor CJ is coming at 11. At least you get to also hear the perspective of a younger generation. Pareho rin naman eh. Okay, God's plan and purpose. We'll try to cover as much no, kasi I prepared a bit. No, kaya hindi ko lang kung hanggaano kahaba ito. Number one is to use families to advance His kingdom to and domain on earth. From beginning of time, He chose families to be His vehicle for His blessings. Kaya mapapansin nyo, di ba? From the time that He called Abraham to be the father of our faith. Family na kagad yun eh. Makita nyo, tapos all throughout, even the genealogy of Christ, di ba? You'll notice that genealogy, it's all about family, you know, coming down. Also, His plan and purpose is for men to lead His own family. That's God's design for the men to rise up and to start really being the man that they are. And I think that's a sad state in our society kasi nga hindi ganun yung reality. Mas maraming women na nagli-lead. The challenge nga sometimes is even in our churches, di ba? We, you know, as I disciple the men in our church, mas maraming women leaders na women that are more committed to discipleship than men. I don't know if the statistics is the same in your churches, pero at least in our context in Alabang, parang ganun, mas napapansin namin, ang daming, you know, even in the intercessors, we have about 200 plus intercessors, babae pa rin. I don't know kung bakit. There's really an anointing of women in the churches. Pero kaya kailangan deliberate tayo in raising up men. I think if they take seriously their role in leading their homes, then we have done our job. And of course, another plan and the purpose of God is to continue the continuity of biblical families to move from one generation to the next generation. That, you know, our desire is, of course, I'm looking at Bea now, who's possibly, you know, she's 22. 22 ako kinasal noon. So sabi ko, Lord, baka deja vu to. Ah. Pero hindi naman this year yun eh. So, but, you know, I'm foreseeing that maybe in the next couple of years, baka adudun na rin siya, di ba? So, nag-iiba rin yung ano, nag-iiba na rin yung the way I view parenting because it's totally different with young children. With young children, the objective kasi is obedience eh. You know, and by the way, we're going to be doing parenting naman, I think, in some churches. No? So the whole point of parenting with young children is obedience. But when you start raising adult kids or teenagers, it's no longer obedience. Of course, character development comes into play after obedience. But at that time, it's already encouragement, entreaty. It's mentoring already. So ibang-iba eh, you know, and I'm, you know, my I was talking to Shirley and sabi niya ganun, you know what, my burden right now is really make sure that when Bea starts her own family, I said, get behind, hindi pa. Pero hindi, sabi niya ganun, hindi, in the future. Basta kung dumating yun, sabi niya ganun. hindi pa kasi ako ready personally. No? Pero siya naman, excited siya. Sabi niya ganun, excited na ako, love, humawak ng apo. Sabi ko, bata mo pa eh, ba't ka mo kaka-apo, di ba? Meron pa tayong maliliit. Huwag ka muna magka-apo, di ba? So, anyway, I don't know what's getting into her, if it's hormonal or, you know, or anything, but somehow, that's the burden. And the reality might happen sooner than later. Kasi nga, she's, you know, marriageable, she's got a job, you know, both of them love God, and they're really, you know, very stable. And so, we're just getting ready. And the burden is, you know, do we have, you know, and I hope that whatever we have in the home is imparted to my daughter. Na somehow, hindi lang recipe yung dali niya. But it's the, you know, kasi I'm sure she's gonna bring the recipe of Shirley. But, you know, I hope that she would bring with her the standards of Christianity, the fear of God, diba? The, you know, the character, you know, even in raising up her future kids. No? So, anyway, that's really our burden now. Okay, that's why I believe that, if you're talking about the strength of a family, it really boils down to having a strong marriage. Yun pa rin talaga yun eh. You cannot have strong kids and you cannot have strong, you know, a strong family unless your marriage itself is really strong. No? Kaya nga, the first and primary investment that you need to make is that in your marriage. Of course, kung single ka pa, tulad ni Jack, di ba, it'll come. Di ba? Okay. The first, of course, the first marriage in the Bible is, you know, it happened in Genesis. Genesis 2:24 says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Diba? The whole, I guess, the whole objective of marriage is not to be the same as in the same kayo, pareho kayo ng damit sa couple street. Hindi naman ganun yan, diba? But to be one. To be one means not to totally agree with each other, but to be one means to be united, diba? You can be in disagreement in some issues in your married life, but being one means no matter what happens, there's no leaving behind, diba? There's always gonna be walking together. You know, it's possible to walk together hand in hand even if you can see each other eye to eye. Pwede pa rin mangyari yon, diba? And there are some, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we're really different, you know, in many things. But, you know, over the past 25 years, I realized that, you know, the whole goal or the whole purpose of marriage is not to prove you're right. Okay, though many times I find myself right. But it's really to humble ourselves, diba? And say, even if I'm 90% right and you're just 10% right, I'm gonna say I defer to you, whatever, diba? That's, I think you find this in Ephesians chapter 5. Before the wives submit to your husband, and before, you know, husbands love your wives, in verse 18 it says, "Submit to each other out of mutual respect or reverence to Christ." I think that's the bottom line of all relationships. It's not banging the Bible, you know, on your wife. You know, you gotta submit to me. I am the man of the house, diba? You know, I can lead this home. Hindi yun eh, diba? But if you have a revelation of verse 18, that as we come together in this home, we're one in the same in Christ. We're equal in Christ, and we have different roles. I am the leader. I am the head. You're the helpmate, and you're to submit. But at the same time, because the previous verse says, "I need to submit to you as I submit to Christ," then it becomes easier. And, you know, I somehow understood that, you know, as I continue this relationship with my wife for the next 25 more years or so, there's probably a lot more discussions and disagreements. But if we have this, you know, in humility and mutual submission, then I think we've got it all done. Okay? That's why itong verse 24 says, "And they will become one flesh." What does that? Kasi marami nalilito dun eh. Kailangan ba lagi kayo in agreement? Hindi. Di ba? Mag-aaway kayo. Sino rito nung married na nag-aaway na? Di ba? Oh, si Belle? Talaga nag-aaway na kayo ni Carlos? So, I mean, for the singles here, it's normal to fight. Di ba? I mean, you'll find your pastors fighting and you'll find your pastors discussing whatever, whether it's family issues, family matters, or maybe even work, di ba? With Pastor Mark and Wina. And so, you know, we find those, but, you know, we're not called to always agree. We're called to be one. In the same way that Jesus and the Father are one, they're in perfect agreement and harmony, that's the model that we have. Diba? And, you know, that's somehow my peg in my home, that I don't try to put her in a mold that I make. You know, it's really the mold that God makes for us. You know, that makes it easier. And I love verse 25. "The man and the woman," or the man and the wife, "were both naked, and they felt no shame." Yan. That's the beauty of marriage, by the way. Now, this speaks about not just literal physical nakedness, okay? It talks about openness. It talks about transparency. It talks about vulnerability. It talks about, you know, not keeping secrets. It talks about, you know, if there's one best friend in the whole world that you can have, it's your spouse. Union. I mean, that should be the goal. And God is the one who initiated this beautiful relationship called marriage. Marriage is one of the blessings that we have on this planet that you will never experience in your eternal life. Have you ever thought of that? You can be married here, but you will never be married in heaven. There's no marriage in heaven. In heaven, we are brothers and sisters. Yeah. Ang tawag mo ron, bro at saka sis, or whatever, di ba? Pero dito, we get to enjoy marriage, you know. But, you know, for those of you who are not yet married, don't worry, you're not missing out, okay? If Jesus is your, you know, if He's your Lord and He's your husband, then you got it all made, okay? That's why I just want to show to you three things so quickly in this biblical pattern of marriage. Number one, in the garden, there was God's presence. The starting point of marriage, if you want to have a strong marriage, is really the presence of God in your relationship. The first thing that Adam or that God gave Adam was not a wife and was not the provision, but really His presence. Diba? God gave Himself first to Adam, and He was with Adam. And because it was God's desire to enjoy and have fellowship with Adam, ganun din, vice versa. And that's why there was intimacy between Adam and God. No? Nowadays, many people marry for different reasons. Diba? You know, yung iba siguro dahil ano, type niya yung guy, yung iba kasi tumatanda na sila, yung iba dahil match made in heaven sila. I don't know what reasons you have, okay? Or maybe an escape from loneliness. Diba kasi lagi akong lonely. Yung gusto ko na palitan yung FB status ko na single. Gusto ko maging complicated na, di ba? Or whatever, di ba? Or in search for fulfillment, or you know, in search of companionship. You may have different kinds of reasons. Eh. But you know, if none of those can actually fulfill the thing that only God can give, which is really, you know, His presence in our life. You know, if you are lonely as a single, guess what? It will not address the loneliness when you're married. Chances are you will be married and you'll still be lonely. The worst thing in the world is to be married and be lonely. I'd rather be lonely as a single than be married and still be lonely. You'll just feel you're in prison, di ba? Parang ganun yung mararamdaman mo. So, di ba, there's a famous line in the movie of Jerry Maguire, di ba? Yung nakita niya yung, "You complete me," di ba? I mean, we've known that. It's a Hollywood line. "You complete me." It's nice, it's cute, but in reality, it does not deliver, di ba? Because no one can really complete us. There's no human being on this planet that can complete me. Not even my own wife for 25 years, she will never complete me. Because unless I am complete before coming to her, it's so unfair for her. Diba? You know, marriage does not have to have two half individuals coming together so that they can be full or whole. Diba? It's two whole individuals coming together because they're complete in Christ. That should be the first priority. And in order for you to have a strong marriage, dapat i-guard niyo yun, diba? And if you're still single, then that's what you are looking for in a spouse. Somebody who's complete. Somebody who's secure in his relationship with the Lord. Somebody who's not just funny or, you know, committed or, you know, a gentleman or have a savings account or, you know, or has got a good pedigree. Hindi lang hinahanap mo, di ba? You're looking for somebody who's so secure in his relationship with the Lord. Because yun ang dadali mo sa marriage, di ba? None of the other peripherals ang kailangan mo. It's Him, you know, humbling Himself before the Lord. Diba? And, you know, I think that's what saves us daily, kami ni Shirley. You know, we both came from, you know, different backgrounds. Yung family, Shirley kasi, she's the youngest of 11 kids. Okay? She comes from a Chinese family of 11. Ang nangyari sa kanya, they used to be well off until the mom died when she was 7 years old, when Shirley was 7. And dad got depressed and the business went bankrupt. So talagang, in the eyes of Shirley, yung first 7 years niya was really great. Yung 7 years and beyond was really down. Whereas in my case, I grew up differently. I was born in Tondo. I saw my mom and dad really struggle it out to make a business. And then when I was 7 years old, we moved to the south, to Tahanan Village. So from Tondo to the south. And then that's when my parents really hit it big. We were one of those first school bus service companies in the south. And so kami naman, baliktad naman. You know, I grew up having a comfortable lifestyle where si Shirley ganon. No? So, that's why when we met, magkaibang-magkaiba kami. You know, she's coming from a Chinese background, coming from a regular Filipino home. She's ultra generous. She loves to give. I come from an Ilocano family. Okay, so mas ganon kami, no? Mas tight. And then it's rather interesting how we've met, no? Because we've met if we have that, we've met in the review school. Pareho kaming accountants. And I remember, you know, when I graduated from LaSalle, my professor basically made or established this review school for LaSalle students. But for some reason, may mga nag-cross enroll, and Shirley was one of those. She came from La Consolacion. Okay, inalaw nila yung cross enrollees. Very few. I think there were like about 5 cross enrollees. And so we met there, and my classmate also was the brother of Pastor Junior Escosar, si Roy, who happens to come from another church, I mean another school. So magkasama kami ni Roy, tapos one day, I think it was Roy or Shirley singing the song, We Are the Reason. Nagpakilala silang dalawa, ay, Christian ka ba? Oh, Christian din ako. Christian din to si Ariel. So we became study mates, no? And then when we took the board, I went back to the company I'm working in, and I invited Shirley. Sabi ko, do you wanna apply in that company? Baka tanggapin ka. And so she applied. She was accepted by the HR department, and she was placed in the same office as I am in, placed in the same room. Our office are right beside, I mean, our tables are right beside each other. So parang set up, parang gano'n nangyari, no? But before that, she also moved to Victory kasi nga she's coming from a different church. And so talk about set up, talk about, you know, how God sovereignly just put you together, no? And so I had no interest in her. Na talaga, reality, wala talaga ako. Sabi niya, mas nauna pa siyang nagustuhan ako. So parang ganun yung story, ano? But then when we were already office mates, that's when the time I actually started liking her and I started noticing her. Ay, ganda pala itong katabi ko, parang ganun, no? And so yeah, we started, you know, knowing each other, and di namin pinatagal, from the time I met her to the time we got married, it's a 2-year period. Okay, ganun kabilis yung short engagement kami, and then I popped the question, let's get married. We got married. And, you know, we found it's God, you know, who worked in us. And I think, as I said earlier, the reason that we're being saved every day is because we knew for a fact that both of us are from different backgrounds. We're not perfect, but at the same time, we constantly, daily submit ourselves before the Lord. So talaga, you know, if there's something, wari, meron kaming disagreement, yeah, minsan may tampuan kami, minsan di niya ako kakausapin, but, you know, bilangin mo ng ilang oras o ilang araw, and then ilang oras pati na kami bigla, you know, because of that submission. Okay, so the presence of God is really very important coming into marriage. Second is God's purpose. You see this, di ba, in the garden before Adam was given an Eve, he had a purpose. He knew exactly what he was supposed to do, which is to tend the garden, to take care of it. Diba? He's got a job, he's got a work, he's got a purpose for living. His ultimate purpose is not to look for a wife. That was not his purpose. But his purpose was to do the calling of God in his life. And as he was doing the purpose of God, then God added a wife to him. So that's the long and short of it. Diba? And we see that the third one is God's provision or God's partner. Diba? The provision of God came because first, Adam was secure with his relationship with him. Secondly, he was so clear about the purpose, diba, that God had to place him in the garden. He was so secure. He was not looking for a wife that God had to put him to sleep. Tulog ka muna, anak. Pagising mo, may surprise ako sa'yo. Parang gano'ng nangyari kay Adam, di ba? Parang Christmas, di ba? Pagising mo ng Christmas Eve, yan. Buksan mo na yung Christmas gift mo sa ilalim ng Christmas tree. Parang gano'n, no? So when Adam, you know, woke up, he saw this, di ba? Whoa, man! Di ba? That's why he called her woman, di ba? So verse 16 of chapter 2, it says, "The Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree of the garden.'" So even the provision came, di ba? Because Adam was just so secure with his relationship with the Lord. We can skip a few verses after that. And then, of course, we know that the famous line, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And that's only when marriage came because of the nurtured relationship that he has with the Lord. Verse 23 is really an acknowledgement of the provision. And man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." So he acknowledged basically God providing for him, even without him looking for a wife. Okay. And then verse 24 is the acceptance of provision. "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." So if you talk about a godly marriage, it does not really come from finding the right person. It's being the right person to that individual. All right. Let's shift gears. I'm going to talk about building strong families very quickly. Joshua 24:15. It's a time when Joshua, after leading the people from the desert to the promised land, they crossed the river Jordan. So they started, conquering lands, and he started distributing land. So at the end of his life, he was making a declaration about what to do next, and he said to the people, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served before the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So he was making a declaration that, as for me, we will continue the fight. But yes, we have come out of Egypt, we've seen the miracles, we've seen the pillar of cloud, we've seen the fire by night, we've seen the Red Sea open. We've seen this River Jordan open before your eyes. But now that God has given us our own inheritance, we will never back out. We will continue serving Him. And these are like five things lang I saw from this verse. It's an acronym. Okay, how to build strong families. Number one is scriptures. Okay, it's the most important thing that you can actually invest in your family, in your own home. It's the primacy of the scriptures. It's the primacy of reading the word. Me and Shirley, we deliberately model that before our daughters. We would let our daughters see us and catch us reading the word. We would leave the door a bit open so that when they come in from their room, makikita nila yung mom and dad nagbabasa ng Bible. It's something that we have imparted to them. And nowadays, it's automatic for them. It's almost like intuitively, when they wake up in the morning, mas inuuna pa nga nila magbasa kaysa magbrush ng teeth. Eh. Which we're trying to correct. Also, minsan kasi hindi na sila nakapag-brush the whole day. Okay? So, kailangan brush muna anak bago mag... Then you can read. Okay? And then, para set na tayo. But it's something that we have set in their heart as a young child, as a young believer. My daughter Anna recently got baptized. She just finished Victory Weekend for Kids about a month ago, and she made this decision. I'm gonna follow Jesus. And she also last week and I think finished making disciples class, and so she wanted to lead her own small group. 9-year-old, okay. And so we've and it is not my desire for them to be in the ministry. Hindi naman yun ang plano namin eh. My ultimate goal for them is just for them to follow Jesus. Yun lang naman yun eh. And wherever Jesus will take them, it's really His prerogative in their life, di ba? And what the training that we are teaching them at a young age is how to listen to the voice of God. Yun eh. As you listen to mom and dad, di ba? In Ephesians it says, honor and obey your mom and dad because it will be well with you and you will live long in the land. Then you will be blessed, di ba? So, what we're trying to teach them at a young age is to listen to the voice of the Lord by listening to our voice first. Kung sanay sila mag-obey sa parents, it'll be easy for them to obey God through the written word. Okay, so scripture is very important. It's a timeless truth that is always timely in our situation. There's always a daily application of the word. In their heart. Psalm 19 verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. In other words, when you look at the way you raise up your family, what kind of standards are you putting in your children's lives? No? I know that there are just so many influences that they can actually get from the internet, you know, from their friends, from school, watching cable. That's why we're constantly monitoring what comes into their eyes. We limit the amount of media. Recently nga, my daughters are asking if they can actually have their own Facebook. Sabi ko, no way. You'll not have your own Facebook yet. You'll not have your own Instagram. You're limited to just playing basic children's educational apps. And that's it. Okay? I find them, of course, every time, they'd come to me and, "Daddy, can we download this particular app from the iPad? And what's your password?" "Okay, turn around. Okay, I'm going to enter it." "Can you give us our own password?" I say, "No way. Okay, you cannot have your own password." So we're monitoring them. Okay? Of course, iba yan, bahala na siya sa buhay niya. 22 na yun, we have an adult in the house. So nag-a-adjust kami. The way we treat Bea is so different from the way we treat Anna and Andrea. We don't dictate on Bea anymore. In fact, we don't even ask her what time she will be coming home. Well, yeah, we do, but we don't dictate on her anymore. "I want you to come home tonight." And, I ask her, it's more of an asking, "Oh, what time will you come tonight? Can you join us for dinner?" "Dad, I'm in the office. I have to go and, have an overtime." "Oh, it's okay. It's okay. But take care. If you need me to pick you up, I'll pick you up in the office." So, ganun na. Hindi na dictatorial. Dati kasi, yung dalawa, dinidiktahan ko yan. "You will come with us today, no matter what." Ganun yan eh. And that's what, gusto ko itong stage ng dalawa. Kasi nga, meron pa akong bulilit eh. Pero si Bea, hindi ko na mahawakan. And that's where the tension comes in. No? Kasi nga, she's an adult, she makes her own decision, and I'm just trusting that whatever we've deposited in her heart when she was that age is really growing and bearing fruit in her stage right now as a single lady. Okay, so yun lang yun talaga. It's really a walk of faith. And I'm so glad that she has decided to stay with us and live there, even if it's a far commute to Makati, because we live at the border of Bacoor, Cavite. So it's quite a far commute, no? To Makati. We only have one car, so I can't give her my car. Pero 2 weeks ago, her boss gave her a company car. So which is really a blessing. So yung isang Innova ng company pinauwi sa kanya so that she'll have her own But despite that, she still has no intention of leaving our home yet. Praise God. Okay? Because if I'm trying to imagine, if that time comes, syempre alam ang pigilan ko yun, di ba? She's an adult, she's working, I can only tell her the advantage of living with your parents while you're single. Parang ganun, di ba? You can save money, di ba? I can treat you for gas, I can treat you for dinner. So, may mga ganun, di ba? And she loves the benefit of just coming into a home and wherein she could just crash to her bed and all her clothes are fixed the next day. And she can just go. Kasi pagka nag-isa na yan, because sana yan eh, because she lived in Singapore for a few months and she knows how to live on her own. When she was in Lasal also, for 1 year, she was living in a dorm. So, she knows how to live by herself. So, anyway, kaya nag-a-adjust kami sa area na yan. Let's move on, okay? E is education. This is for us as parents, particularly the men, to constantly educate yourself as you serve your family, get mentors so that you can get mentors in your life that will guide us, those who've walked ahead of us so that we can actually follow them. And I'm so happy and I'm so grateful that, I have Steve, I have Joey, I have Manny, I have people that I look up to in the area of, this stage now, no? Pastor Steve is actually in the lolo stage. Joey, ganun din, di ba? And so I'm looking at maybe pag ganun na ako eh, di ba? When, of course, a couple of years ago, their children got married, baka malapit na ako. So si Pastor Ferdy, parang ganun din. Si Pastor Julie. So we're in that stage now, no? Medyo pa-adjust kami na pa-transition. So I constantly ask, you know, ano nangyari? How did you adjust? You know? And so I educate myself now. You know, I don't rest on the things that I know in the past because it's a new territory for me that I am trekking right now. This one in particularly. R is responsibility. Okay? We ask ourselves the question, who is ultimately responsible for the family? It's not the pastors. It's not the kids' church teachers. Diba? It's not the volunteers. It's us. Diba? It's the parents who are ultimately responsible for our children. Of course, going back to Psalm 127, I don't have to read that, but you see that in this particular scripture, we're builders. Diba? As the Lord, you know, unless the Lord builds the house, it's builders' labor in vain. The first job description of a parent is you are a builder. You're building your own home. Diba? When you build something, you sit down, you plan, you consider the cost. Diba? Pagka nagpapatayo ka ng bahay, parang dito, diba? You know, before we built this phase two, umupo mo na lahat ng engineer, diba? You know, the apostolic team and the building committee team and all the volunteers met, diba? Tapos, inano mo na yung budget. It's a big work. It's a big task. And in the area of parenting, ganun din yun. If you're building something, know what you're building. You know, you've got to foresee already, saan ba ang mga children ko in the future? Where do I see my children going in the future? Not that I'm going to dictate on them what they're supposed to do. I've never done that. But I've let God do that. But somehow, in my future, I've envisioned myself, or I envisioned them, that they will follow what we've started by, you know, walking in the ways of God. Okay. Many fathers don't really have a lot of time for children nowadays. Siyempre, yun talagang challenge, you know, as you're building your career. Minsan talagang nagbabangga yung time, no? So it's really a deliberate effort for us, even us as pastors, as the churches are growing, as a staff, tayong lahat, no? As our ministry is growing, there's just so many demands. Yung dating napapagkasya nating, you know, one day meeting, ngayon parang bitin na bitin, you know. I find myself driving to the fort at least 3 times a week nowadays, even if I don't have an office here, di ba? 3 to 4 times a week andito ako. Simply because of the demands of the movement, di ba? I have a church to pastor, but at the same time, there are also needed meetings here. And so you can imagine my daily schedule, alam ni Belto, okay? She keeps my schedule. And so it's really tough, okay? Not Bel Antonio, but Bel Villanueva. our Bel from Alabang, okay? So yeah. Si Bel Pentagon yan, okay, iba yan. You know, some stats lang, 60 to 65% of the child's vocabulary is acquired by the age of 3. I got this from Zig Ziglar, one of the trainers I heard before. 60 to 65% of the child's vocabulary is acquired at the age of 3. 80% of their character is formed at the age of 5. And 90% of their personality is formed at the age of 7. So at a very young age, I don't know how accurate these stats are, but somehow it gives you a picture of the short time we have with our children. That as young as they are, yung formative years nila is really formative years. They acquire most of the vocabulary at a very young age, and you only add about 20 to 30% in the future when they are growing up. But most of it, they hear somewhere. Where do they hear those? Do they hear it from school? Do they hear it from the yayas? Do they hear it from the parents? Do they hear it from the church? Where do they hear those? Or from Disney Channel? We don't know, di ba? So, kailangan talaga deliberate tayo with our children. Okay? And, you know, I'm just so glad because I've shared a story about with my son when we were going through this battle with my son in 2003, that was the time when we were building our church in Alabang. So that was, you know, those were the months that we were constructing in Festival Mall. We're moving out of a small venue from a basement of a building to move to Festival Mall. Doon nagkataon, nagkaroon ng sakit si Jerome, no? So, ang nangyari sa amin is, as I was overseeing the construction work in Festival Mall, my son is in Asian Hospital. And I would just shuttle back and forth kasi nga doon kami halos tumira sa Asian Hospital ng dalawang buwan because of this battle, no? And you know, it's quite a journey. Of course, we've not expected this to happen. In fact, we were really hoping that we would bring him home. But ang medyo ano kasi, I think the bacteria that lodged to his brain was really aggressive. That on the second week of him being sick, he got half paralyzed already. Ganong kabilis. After about another week, he lost his speech. Another week, he's fully paralyzed. No? So he went through 5 major operations. The doctors also found a big mass on top of his heart that they suspected to be cancer. So talagang na, yung attention nila napunta dito. And you know, he was spastic. You know, it was just a difficult time for us. But then when they did an open biopsy, they found out it's just a thyroid gland that expanded because of the bacteria in the brain. So it was not a mass, it's benign. So anyway, so they started treating, but hindi nangyari yung treatment. No? So I'm sharing this because, you know, as we were going through the funeral, he passed away December 28th of 2003. So it was one tough Christmas for us, very dark. The church was also grieving with us. You know, of course, they prayed, they expected the miracle, but it didn't come. But, you know, when we were going through the funeral, we were showing pictures in the wake, and I realized how much time we spent with our boy, you know. Though he was just 8 years old, there were just so many memories that we've built with him growing up. And that's why, you know, as I raise up new children, you know, hindi mo pwedeng assume na hindi magkakaroon pa naman ako ng time eh, na in the future, you know, because we don't know, you know. Of course, I'm expecting all my kids to grow up, you know, as adults and die in their old age. No one expects their children to die ahead of them. It was, you know, one of the most difficult things is for a parent to bury his own child. It's normal for children to bury their parents in their old age, di ba? So it was, you know, it was a bit of a journey. But somehow, I am still grateful for the 8 years that God has given us with our son. Of course, the grieving comes and goes. Si Shirley nga, parang a couple of months ago, was still crying. After 10 years, parang fresh pa rin sa kanya. Meron, it'll hit you eh. You know, but the grace of God has been there because, you know, he's not replaced our son with the 2 girls, but somehow he's replaced the grief with the joy that those 2 girls brought to us. No? So, anyway, so I don't want to be too emotional here. No? But I'm just sharing this because of the time that we have with our children. You know, value every moment, value every stage that they have in their life. I love them when they were toddlers. I love them when they're 2. Tawag nila terrible 2. Di ba? Ganun eh. Pero sa amin, terrific 2 yun. Every stage that our children would have, you know, we would always celebrate that stage. Pag naging 3 yan. Okay? Now that they're 7, this is probably the best stage that we have with them. They're wanting to exercise their independence, but yet they're still dependent. Alam mo yung ganun? Yung they want to do their own thing. They want to take a bath on their own. Hopefully, you shampoo your hair. They want to do that. Di ba? So, sige lang. Yung pinapabayaan namin yan. Di ba? Pero at the same time, extra care because we're now forming the character in them at this stage. No? So, yun lang. It's an appreciation of just going through the seasons of your child. That not each season is special. Eh. You know, wala akong favorite. Like ngayon, si Bea, yung season niya is the leaving the nest season. About to. Di ba? So, I'm praying for grace in for that part, okay? Mas yun ang kailangan kong prayer, guys. You could pray for me. Kesa yun dito. Ito, madali ito. Ito, hindi ko pa alam kung anong gagawin ko rito. But anyway, so, number four, as I begin to close, is vision, okay? Okay, after responsibility is vision. Have a clear path for them. Where do you envision your family to be? Okay. I heard one pastor talk about vision and imagination that he said, I forgot his name, Ray. He said that everything that is created twice. Everything that you see created is created twice. And, you know, whether it's a building, but before you see the actual Every Nation Phase 2, it's already been in the mind of the architect. It's a vision. It's already there. Diba? Before it actually becomes a reality. Whether it's the handheld phone that you have, whether it's an iPad or a Samsung or an iPhone or whatever, that reality that you have, that the vision of a real phone, has been in the mind of the inventor or the designer. Diba? And I believe that even us as you know, parents, future parents, you know, husband, wives, we definitely need to have a vision for the future. Diba? If you want to see your children be somebody who they should be, what do you see now? Diba? I remember when Bea was 2 years old, Shirley and I were already praying for her future husband. And we were asking the Lord, Lord, you know, she's young, yes, but we pray for the future husband of my wife, of my daughter, that he would be a godly man, that he would be a man who's after your heart first, that even before he loves my daughter, he would love you first and foremost, that he would be responsible. So we've started praying for that guy when Bea was around 2. And I'm not sure if the Lord is answering our prayers now with this guy. That's probably one prayer that you don't want answered, but... Pero, you know, it's a vision that we've had then. And now we're seeing it into a reality now. She's slowly blooming into the woman that she is to be. Okay? And we're envisioning that, you know, in the future, she would be leading her own family and her own children as well. Okay? So, everything that is created twice. What do you see now in order for you to have a future? Now, if you're still single, what vision of a man do you want? Or, you know... Put it on paper, put it before the Lord, and then it'll become a reality in the future. And last is encouragement, okay? Encouragement, an atmosphere of peace and love. Encourage is actually two words, but to put courage into. You know, daily we have a lot of fears. You know, we face a lot of fears. My, you know, what I'm dealing right now with my youngest daughter is that she fears the dark, and she fears being alone, which she never had before. You know, we were really asking the Lord for wisdom, because you know, when Andrea, our youngest, was really young, she was really adventurous, and she would eat anything. She would eat vegetables, and she would, you know, be on her own. But I don't know, somewhere as she was growing up, she started having this fear. Parang for some reason, ayaw niya magpa-iwan. You know, like last night, she was knocking at our door and she wanted to sleep beside us. And she's been sleeping in her own room. So parang, sabi lang, parang ando ba to? Parang unfounded yung fears niya. So it's something that we're praying for her. Yet I realize that, you know, even us as, you know, adults, we have daily fears. You know? I think... Somebody once said, I think a Bible scholar said, that there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. Good for at least one day for the 365 days in the year. And it's a good reminder for us to always, you know, go back to the scripture and get our encouragement and get our strength from that. And as parents, tayo rin dapat, we need to always cultivate a culture and an atmosphere of encouragement in our own home. Okay, catch them doing right instead of doing what's wrong. Yeah, by then encourage there. There's a big difference between an encouraging remark and an encouraging father, diba? an encouraging remark is just a remark, but you know, you have to be an encouraging dad or an encouraging mom. Okay? Because real encouragement really flows out of a relationship with our children, with our family. All right. So the summary is let's have a heart to serve. You know, as Joshua declared, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's really serving God by serving one another. No? And so this is just an acronym, the service. You know, scriptures, just to summarize, scripture, you have education, responsibility, vision, and then encouragement as you serve one another in your home. All right, I'd like to end with this scripture from Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Another take of Paul, di ba? When we talked about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, submitting to one another, to each other. This is really the secret of relationships, not just marriage, di ba? Relationships in general. If we have this, then we will be in harmony with everybody. Okay, verse 4, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of what? A servant. He served. He came to serve, being made in human likeness. So I believe the reason why God elevated him, diba? And he had the name that is above all names, is because of his attitude of serving us. And so I'd like to end with that. No? And hopefully you got something this morning. I see Pastor CJ coming in already, and he'll be ready to teach in about 10 minutes as you all have another break. Any questions before we end this session? Wala. Sige. All right. Can I just pray for you before we go? Father, I thank you for this young men and women, Lord. Thank you, God, for your calling upon their lives. Thank you for the opportunity to work in this organization, Lord. We thank you, God. What a privilege for us to be part of what you're doing in this time. But also, Lord, we thank you for the calling that you have for each one to lead families. We thank you, Lord God, first and foremost, Lord God, you've called us in relationships, Lord God, and you've called us to be part of families. Father, we pray, God, that you would give us a vision on how to raise up godly families, Lord God, strong families that will be effective, Lord God, in being the connector of the gospel from our generation to the next generation. Lord, bless everyone, Lord, and Lord, even bless the singles that are here. Thank you, God, for, Lord, just the desire, Lord God, to serve you as a single man and woman, Lord God. And I thank you that just like Adam, even when they are not looking for it, Lord God, put them to sleep. And when they wake up, she's going to be there. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you.